Premier Boys. Yeah. Yo, me and my team is the best in the world. You and your team looking stressed in the world. Said me and my team is the best in the world. Then you and your team looking stressed in the world. Yo, me and my team getting caressed by curves. And you and your team getting arrested by the curb. Me, my nigga, oh, he ain't do shit except the robbery, nigga. He gon' do six. Come through, bitch, styled up with new kicks. Penny flow, ho, and I come with two chicks. Cause me and my team is the best in the world. Me and my team is the best in the world. Said me and my team is the best in the world. Best in the world, best in the world. Got a star on the sky, gentlemen on the cuff. And I know my team burns, we got sand in the cut. Ow. Premier Boys. Yes, hello everybody. Welcome to the Premier Boys Podcast. We back. This is your boy Ken, aka Mr. Gentleman.
And you already know what it is. It's your man, Mr. Aaron Sands. It's King Talk Sands in the building. We back at it again. We've been gone for a minute. Now we back with the Premier Boys Podcast. You already know the number one podcast in the game, the coolest podcast in the game right here. Welcome back.
It's your boy, the star, Roddy Rod. We here. We ready. Let's go.
And last but not least, Ken, would you help me out a bit?
Lola the Chief!
Kicking it live from the top of the sky. They call me Miley Mal. We are back. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today.
Yes, we freaking do. Well, first thing first, yo, we are back. We are welcome to the Premier with Podcast. Bros, how y'all been doing?
I ain't gonna lie, I've been doing pretty well. I've been working on a lot of different projects outside of, you know, outside of Premier Boys and everything, outside of King Talk. You know, I'm working on a potential YouTube situation. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna speak too crazy into it yet because I'm still working out the kinks. But, you know, that's getting, like, you know, that's about to come into work, so be on the lookout for that. Other than that, personal life been going good, you know. Been doing a lot of outdoors activity. Your boy been outside lately. Shout out to the Sexy Nerds crew. I was wondering, you know.
Hey, yo, Sam's been outside.
Sam's outside. I ain't outside on Dot Sam's. You know, I ain't on that type of song. Let's be clear. But, you know, I've been outside, you know what I'm saying? I've been, you know, just checking out different people and everything like that. And I'm kind of glad to be because, you know what I'm saying, it's getting nice out. Like, you already know, this week has been, like, looking real, you know, looking real good in the weather department. So, you know, it's been taking time to go out.
How different does it feel to be married Sands outside rather than thought Sands outside? Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dot Sands out here is a little bit different, and I'm glad that it is because the way shit is lined up right now, I'm like, all right, bet. I ain't got to worry about, you know what I'm saying? Like, I used to worry about, oh, what I'm going to do, I'm going to put on for these hoes, I'm going to put on for these hoes. Now, I don't really have to worry about that too much. And also, based off what I've been seeing out here in these streets, I've been like, all right, you know what? I ain't really missing too much. And plus, I've been letting my bros be kind of get into it. I've been letting the bros get to it, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's been a really good sight to see. Seeing Ken doing his thing out here in these streets and everything. Shout out to the homie Germs and everything. He's been doing his thing out here. Roddy been hitting these events. So, you know, it's a good look to see folks, you know, making these moves and everything like that. And me just kind of taking a step back and just observing, you know what I'm saying? So it's a really good look. And it makes me feel good because I'm like I told you before, I see a lot of stuff that happened out here in the streets and it doesn't make me miss it at all. And it makes me come home and be like, you know what? I'm glad to be home. You know what I'm saying? So
basically you and your semi-retired pro wrestler give back to the industry era.
Yeah, we in the Kurt Angle. Nice word.
Get your flowers, get out of there.
That's it. I'm on John Cena timing right now. I don't know how many days we got left, but I know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know for a fact, like, it ain't much, but you know, we going to give back on some Kurt Angle, Baron Corbin shit.
There you go. There
nobody you go. Asked for it, but we, you know, giving it back.
There you go. Yo, Roddy, how you been doing, bro?
Man, for me, I'm doing great. Like, life has just been turning around for me, man. Like, just been going out, meeting shorties, back to work tomorrow, so I'm feeling real good. And my taxes, thanks to your specialty, Mally Mal, I got some money on the way. I'm just in a really good space right now, a little better than I was before. And I also made a vision board, which I'm making sure I stick myself to for the next year. So yeah, things are looking up for me at the moment.
I like those moves. That's some big, like, that's self-improvement move. I love that.
Yeah, yeah, still man. More to come, though.
All right, there you go, yo. Roddy, keep killing it, bro. Keep killing it. Long Little Chief, how you been, bro?
Tired, y'all. He said I'd be tired. It took a little while for it to catch up. I'm tired. But other than that, you know, life has its ups and downs, but we've been on a real spiritual journey as of late, just looking inside and taking it from there, finding some real interesting things. Some real interesting things. So, like, that's the part of the journey I am in right now. Of course, you know, still enjoying New Fatherland. I guess I enjoyed it so much, we about to run it back. So, there's that. And yeah, man, we just doing it, man. We out here, we live life to the fullest right now, man.
Yes, there it go. And as for me, you know, I've been doing good. You know, like I said, I've been more health focused now. You know, been working out, you know, walking, eating more healthy, changed my completely whole lifestyle to the point that I lost 14 pounds. So I was 270.
Hey, let's talk about that. Hold on. Yeah. Give that man some cheers. Hold on.
Hey.
Oh. That's what's up, though.
No, I appreciate that. You know, I was 217. Now I'm 203. So it was a major lifestyle change because, yeah, I mean, I know I got big during the pandemic. So the fact that that's going good, you know, that's for a good step. You know, Mr. Gentleman, like that podcast, season 7 just ended. So now I pretty much figured out my next move. Professional rise and personal rise. So that's pretty basically where I'm at. And yeah, there's no more big things coming. Just stay focused, yo. Pretty much stay focused. But there you go. So before we get to the premier news, because we got a lot to talk about in our segments, we got some announcements, of course. You know, since we haven't been around, a lot of stuff happened. So, rest in peace to O.J. Simpson, passed away a couple weeks ago. And this next one took me by surprise. You know, rest in peace to the legend, DJ Mr. C. So, I want to ask you, how y'all feel about, you know, DJ Mr. C?
Oh, man, that was a tough loss, so... I got a couple stories I want to share about Mr. C real quick before we get into, you know, the tributes and everything like that. So when I was younger, right, I used to leave school like early to cut a lot. And I used to leave around like 12:30, 1 o'clock to go downtown and, you know, be on some bullshit. So when I do, I always used to catch Mr. C doing his throwback at noon. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always had the classics. And the way he mixed them was, like, always, like, top tier. So, to, you know, see that and get inspiration from that, to know where certain tracks came from and everything of that nature, that was a big plus for me, especially at my young age. The second story is when I first met him, because by then I was listening to a lot of his mixes. Me and Kane used to talk about it a lot, and this is like during our promoter stage where, you know, we was really networking with DJs and everything like that. You know, we had a pretty solid network of DJs at that time, you know, But once we found out Mr. C was, I think it was, he was doing an event at Rebels. If it was Rebel, if it wasn't Rebel, it was definitely Octagon. And both spots closed at this point, but he pulled up. And then we were like, oh shit, this is fire. And his mix was pretty good too. You know what I'm saying? So the crowd was rocking and everything like that. And then we was like, fuck it. Let's go get a shout out. Have him shout out YPG. And he did. He ain't had to do that. You know what I'm saying? It was a really good look. He didn't have to do that shit. But he did. And it was like a really big situation. It was a really, like top moment in my promote in our promoting careers, you know what I'm saying? So I definitely do want to send condolences to his family and everything like that. At the time of this recording, they already did the memorial over at Brooklyn Paramount. So well, they're doing it that Wednesday, so by the time you guys hear it, it would have happened on that Tuesday. But yeah, it was a tough loss, you know what I'm saying? And it goes back to what, you know, we've been saying across the past few episodes, is like, you got to be able to take care of your health, man. Shit is serious. Life is serious. We're getting older and a lot of people depend on us. So we have to be that, we have to keep that in mind as we are, you know, living and loving and laughing and doing things for those who we care about. So I do want to give a, I do want to give some of my condolences out to his family, and you know, wish to see a positive transition. You know, so.
All right, there you go, Roddy.
Mr. C, man, he was good on the radio, and he showed a lot of love to YPG as I seen. So, in my eyes, he was good. So, He was Biggie's DJ, right? He discovered Biggie and whatnot. So
yeah.
When I found that out, that was real amazing. And he always put on for newcomers and whatnot. So Mr. C was definitely a rebel in this game for DJs. So it's, my condolences go out to his fam.
Yeah, there you go. Mally.
Honestly, when it comes to Mr. C, I don't know what I can say that hasn't been said yet. Definitely rest in peace to the legendary DJ that gave us Biggie. Like, Biggie basically just gave me rap. So, like, without Mr. C, I don't think I get introduced to the art form, honestly. I hate the way we remember to make fun of people, but forget to give them their flowers sometimes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A legendary DJ, a DJ that gave us props, a DJ that gave us airplay at one point in time, which is crazy to say. But, you know, here's the thing. And I'll go into this more a bit later, but people have their ways and things. Nobody's perfect, and honestly, if you think you are, you're much less perfect than the person you think is not. So, remember to give people who do good things their props. But also keep in mind, people going, they're going to do it to themselves sometimes. So, like, you, which would you rather do? Honestly, I'd rather give a legend his props just for being a legendary DJ in the New York airwaves. That's different. It's different than anywhere else. Our DJs, like, they're interwoven in our culture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So definitely a loss that really hurts. I want us to remember the good times, you know, give it a little while before you go back to the jokes, please. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, this was a really hard loss. You know, DJ C, he was definitely one of my favorite DJs that I ever listened to. You know, as a kid, I used to listen to him a lot when he was on Hot 87, 12 a.m. at night on a Friday. Then they moved from the 8 p.m. on Fridays. And then, of course, drive back at noon. And I always try to catch Mr. C, man. Always been my favorite DJ. And of course, the life-changing moment when he shouted us out, you know, at Rebel, Azagon, Taj. So, yeah. And even have some conversation with him, too. So this was a really sad loss. We lost a legend who brought us Biggie and everything, man. And you definitely will be missed. Rest in peace to DJ, the legendary DJ Mr. C, man. This was a really hard loss tonight, gonna hold you, man. But yeah. But Sans, anybody got packed up this week?
I was doing some research regarding this particular packet up, and I came across something interesting.
Oh god.
And I'm pulling it up in my pictures now because I wanted to save it. I'm gonna ask Ken a question real quick. I want to see where he's at, right? So Ken, right, last week, right, last time you were here, you had a whole thing about Cardi B this, Cardi B that. You had a whole rant. He was going real hard. I'm like, damn, bro, why is he going real hard? This is crazy, right? Then I find, right, I scroll out on my IG, and I want to give a quick shout out to the boys, to the fine folks over at City Elite Group real quick. Because they recently threw an event on 420 at Music Out over on 50th Street. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to those boys over there. They're doing big things right there. All right. One of the guests that they happened to have this particular weekend was Ken's favorite person, Cardi B. Right? No, we going there. We going there.
Of course. Those are getting packed up two times a week.
No, you're not getting packed up. This is a simple question, right? I've seen that you took so much interest into this, that you liked this actual event with her showing up. So I have to ask, bro, one, did you go? And two, can you explain this? You know, like, what's going on here?
Well, first thing first, shout out to City Elite Group. I think I like the post with their post. Then I noticed it was Cardi B. I'm like, oh, whatever.
It's in bright gold letters, bro. I'm gonna drop the photo in the chat. And I apologize for our viewers that we're not on video on this particular episode. But I just dropped the photo in the chat. Fellas, when you get a chance, you could take a gander at that and see a familiar name on that post. My question is like, hey, say you're not a fan, saying all this, that, and the third, but then, you know, we're here, bro. Like, what's going on?
I'm really not a fan, so don't do that, Sans. Get to your packet up, son. Get to your packet up.
I'm just saying, like, this is kind of damning evidence.
Next topic.
Exactly, Roddy. Exactly, Roddy.
You're packing up, son. Get
your glove don't fit.
Get to the point. Get to your packet up.
All right, if you don't like that, you ain't gonna like this next one. Actually, I'm not gonna do a person pack it up. This is more of a group, right? And if you ain't like that little question, you ain't gonna like the fact that I gotta pack up the black wrestling community right here on this podcast.
Black wrestling community.
Wow. Yeah, black wrestling community. Now, before I continue, I'm gonna preface this. Not all. A lot of people were happy about this development, but there's a lot of folks in our community, and because I'm part of the community too, but I'm not packing myself up. I was pretty happy about it. But there's a lot of folks in our community are knocking this down, and I don't know why. I can't understand it. So, boom. Over at AEW, right? AEW, right? No, they've been catching all the flack. You know what I'm saying? A lot of folks don't really fuck with AEW. A lot of folks don't fuck with Coke Boy Tony. Even yours truly had to pack him up on a certain occasion, right? But there's certain...
I said, shout out to Jimmy and CM Punk.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he had to get packed up for that real quick. You know what I'm saying? But there are certain points where I do have to give him his flowers. right? And this situation, AEW Dynasty was no different. So as you know, Swerve Strickland, Swerve when I drop, you feel me?
Swerve when I drop.
Right? Oh, okay. He wins the richest prize in the game. You know what I'm saying?
AEW.
Yeah, Jim Ross said it, so it seemed like I bet. You know what I'm saying? Like it's the richest prize in the game. You know what I'm saying? According to AEW. the AEW World Championship, right? Becoming the first black wrestler in AEW to win that title. Get that type of prestige, right? I get up Monday morning, right? And all I hear, bro, all I hear, right, is backlash. Oh, congrats to Swerve or whatever. But didn't he say that thing about black women? Or didn't he do disco? Didn't he do that? Keep in mind, we're at a time now, right, where your top current champions are part of African American. Moose over in TNA.
Yep.
Even go black and brown. Damian Priest, you know, our Puerto Rican brother.
Trick Williams
just won the NXT championship. Of course, you got Cody Luther Rhodes. You know what I'm saying?
Cody Raheem Rhodes.
Stopping racism, protecting freedoms.
Now that we actually have black looking champion, I don't think the internet like those jokes no more.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we got
dying.
We got all of this. Dare I say, black excellence. Swerve joins the pot. Swerve sees the pot. He's like, I bet. I see Cody Raheem Rhodes winning the WWE Championship, and I'm gonna raise you the richest prize in the game, the AEW World Championship. And all I hear from our own people. Oh, well, he said this about black women, so we ain't rocking with Swerve winning the championship. We ain't rocking with this guy doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck a Swerve when I drop. Like, I'm like, bro, y'all, and this is the same group, right, that complained when they said AEW wasn't giving folks spotlight. Oh, by the way, I'm going to go on a little rant real quick. So if you have the attention of like a tape chip, or if you're not a fan of wrestling, just fast forward to the part where I say Roddy go, and you'll get the rest of it. Right. For over 5 years, this company been in business, and I swear, for about four of those years, we heard from all types of different podcasts, all types of different Twitter feeds, talking about, oh, you know, we need black representation. We just gotta have some black representation. Oh Lord, there's no black representation. What does Coke Boy Tony do? Right? He goes signs Mercedes Moné, right? Which y'all love. When she was in WWE, when she goes to New Japan, I act like I don't know her. All right, whatever. All right. Next thing you know, he pushes Swerve to the moon, damn near putting him in like barn burner matches. As gross as it was when he got into it, still a fire match. You feel me? Like, yes, it was.
I think something's wrong with me for that match still being good to me. They drink blood.
Like, literally. The man got his blood drank. Pause. You know what I'm saying?
Just you saying that is weird, sucker, but continue.
You know what I'm saying? And he had to like go through blood, sweat, and tears to get to this point, and finally he got to the top of the mountain. All we're hearing is, okay, yeah, he got there, but, oh yeah, Mercedes Moné is there, but. I'm like, bro, at this point, if y'all don't like AEW as a black wrestling community, just say that. Just say y'all like y'all Lord and Savior, Vince McMahon, and y'all Lord and Savior, Papa H, you know what I'm saying? And then I could understand it. I could be like, all right, bet, y'all gonna be unbiased, y'all gonna be high-key biased, and I understand that, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, if you're really, like, talking about, oh, you want inclusion, you want to see more African-American champions, right? Then we gotta embrace this shit, bro. Ain't no telling how long it's gonna rock. Brock Lesnar's somewhere in the back seething right now. You know what I'm saying? Just can't wait. Just chomping at the bit to take that speed championship from Ricochet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we gotta celebrate this shit now, bro. So sometimes, yeah, Do people make bad decisions in terms of, you know, how they speak on certain shit? Yes. You know, I could agree. What Dude said about that wasn't the best, you know, best way to go about it. But at the same time, just like everybody else does, folks got preferences. Folks got preferences. If that's what he fuck with, that's what he fuck with. I'm not gonna be like, oh, he fuck with that, so I can't fuck with that. Cause I bet you there's a lot of people you fuck with now that got some real shaky shit about them, but y'all still rock with them. I still rock with Oprah, even though she been failing to lose weight for 40 years, but now she got on Ozempic. Now she talking about she did it through dedication. Y'all still watch OWN. That's crazy. But that's another topic for another day.
Can't be catching me like that.
I'm trying to tell you, talking about, oh, it was hard working, dead and chasing. No, but it was Ozempic.
Y'all still watching OWN.
Oh, man.
So, nah, bro. For the folks that said, oh, well, yeah, he did that, but, or, you know, or fell away about him winning that title, I suggest y'all take y'all mics. Because I bet y'all, a lot of y'all have, like, weak-ass podcasts. Take y'all mics. Take your console, take your little weak ass keyboard, put all that shit in a medium sized U-Haul box. All right? Medium sized U-Haul box and take your opinions and put that shit in a large FedEx box and then pack that shit the fuck up. Because at this point, it just now comes down to preference. It ain't black or white, it's preference. And if y'all wanna if y'all want to get mad at another dude's preference, all right, that's fine. But how about we start looking in the mirror? Roddy, go.
hold on. Let me, can I chime in?
Well, yeah, go ahead. What you got?
Just for the sake of nuance, like, so Swerve said in his song, I had a girl, but she was black and ugly. It was like the weakest throwaway line to, you know, it was like a weak setup to a punchline, right? This is the line that they took and meant it to say he doesn't like black women and he's misogynistic. And he's well, they made up the word misogynoir, but like now I can't.
Some of these folks can't even spell misogynoir.
Right. So like that was the line. And I've been confused ever since. But also, like, the other thing is too, he was a heel when he dropped it. It didn't make no waves in the music world. It made waves in the wrestling world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he did that for that. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is, I feel like the context, like, people took that. I feel like I agree 100% with you. And people took that context real weird. But the fact that we're not talking more about Swerve being the first black champion is on the bookend. Because Tony decided it was more important to get the weakest Meltzer driver I've ever seen, and that's a weak move to begin with. Instead of like really putting the champion in a great spot on your main show.
Oh, I'm not to cut you off. Not to cut you off. I do agree with that. I do agree with the fact that Coke Boy Tony decided to put himself over above your own champion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and
I do agree with that. That does fall on him as well. But that's Here's the thing. Pointing that out is just like pointing out the elbow we all got on our left arm. Well, that's obvious. Coke Boy Tony is gonna make mistakes like that because he has no clue what he's doing. You all know that. You know what I'm saying? My shock comes into play with our own community. You know what I'm saying? What you're basically doing, Molly, is like, is basically the same as what folks did when Diddy just got, you know, caught up on the whole freak off situation. People started pointing the finger at Dan Snyder. Oh, well, Dan Snyder's doing that too. Yeah, of course he is. And that's just as bad.
I did no deflection. I said that's the reason why the championship doesn't feel bigger. The commentary, I felt like I said, I feel like to take that line and say, take that one little line and say, oh, he hates black women, is like, I'm like, that's far. Especially because I hear what y'all be shaking your ass to. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
that's facts. Far.
That's facts. And that's the thing. So for me, for me to sit here and be like, oh, we got to talk about Coke Boy Tony and everything like that too, that's fine. I could have did a packet up for that. But that's not even big enough as compared to, like, what, you know what I'm saying? What I've been seeing here. And I'm like, bro, this is, and mind you, there's been, like, in certain groups, there's been a lot of infighting, certain wrestling groups, I should say, there's been a lot of infighting behind this particular topic. And it's been crazy. It's been out of control. So high key out of control. So that's where I'm at with it. That's my pack it up. I feel a way about that. If y'all got feel, if y'all, y'all feel like y'all disagree or whatever, Aaron Sands Premier at me. Talk about it.
There you go. Righty go. That was way longer than it's supposed to be. Righty go.
Yeah. So there's, I've been in a pretty good mood lately, so there's nothing that I don't like. But what I do like is that I found myself reading The Secret by Rhonda Byrne lately, and for me, a fan, I'm definitely not a reader. So for me to continuously sit here with my free time and read this book means I'm really, it's really growth, yo. And it's like I'm really starting to see a different side of me with the way the material in this book is and whatnot. No, didn't understand that a book.
Big proud of you.
Didn't understand that a book could do that to me, like the inspiration. So that's basically what I had to say, you know. That's what I like this week. That's all I have for that.
Nice, there you go. Yo, long live the chief. What's your eyes, Scott?
Okay. So, first of all, definitely super proud of you, Roddy. Growth is mindset. Like, honestly, all of y'all on this podcast, like, y'all don't know. Like, I see y'all in, like, the growth mindset, the mindset y'all got, like, the evolution y'all have gone through in the past. Not even 20 years, because of course you evolved in 20 years, but I'm talking maybe in the past 2-3. Y'all are doing some things, y'all. Give yourselves a round of applause. All of y'all. Right? Matter of fact, I got y'all. But today, as I get to this out of the sky, I just growth. I love the fact that y'all are talking about growth. I love the fact that that's my segue, because unlike the earlier one, this is a good segue, right? Because I've been looking a lot into just spiritual, right? And it's taken me back some places. It's opened some wounds I didn't know I had. You know, and it's just been a whole thing. It's made me, you know, change the way I worship. But it's also made me start worshiping. Man, fam, I need to ask you guys. Have you ever had, like, and I guess this would be most of my Christian for me. Have you guys ever had, like, a real experience? There's a bit I want to talk about, but I'm gonna keep it short, because I got this little one who's in the last stages of sleep fight. A lot of people follow religion and they think it's about things that you do, right? So when I say that, I mean, like, so, like, the argument a lot of people have about Christianity is, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, and the things we do, you know, like, there's like a prerequisite of perfection on your walk in the spirit for anybody to believe or take seriously that you're walking in the spirit, right? What I've learned is that you misunderstand it. I had to learn that, and I've only learned that very recently, is that that's a misunderstanding. The whole system as it is will lead you into misunderstanding. It'll lead you into deceit. And this is if you're following the Christian walk. I'm sure, you know, my, you know, the people that follow other faiths, when you follow it, I'm sure you found different things. So here's what I'm telling you. Like, I'm somebody who's been following this faith, you know, like somebody who goes and studies Hindu a little bit, you know, just to see what it is, try to live the life. I followed it. Unsure. And now I stand before you, sit before you. I echo in your headphones, extremely sure. Because I had an experience. But before I tell you my experience, I want to tell you what it means. It means that not only do you not have to be perfect, your imperfections are already accounted for, but also you can't trick the system, right? You can't trick the system. There's no way around it. There's no shortcut. It's a straight and narrow path. If you got to the straight and narrow path by way of rounding, they call that iniquity because you're bent, you still don't get there. I want y'all to understand this. A personal walk is what you need. What I'm learning anyway. But I'm also learning what that means, because a lot of people say things like that. Like, it literally means you taking the time. You got to understand it for you, right? However you learn, you go learn. However you read, you go read. However you pray, you go pray. At some point, when God knows you're serious, when Jesus knows you're serious, he does it. The rest. I don't think y'all hear me. He literally will do the rest.
That's fine.
A lot of people hear, you know, just Jesus. And then when we hear Jesus, a lot of people like to start arguing about, you know, white and black. And, you know, they start praising pictures of Caesar Borgia by accident. You know, shout out to Florida Evans from Good Time.
Damn, damn, damn.
She never wanted those kids out the hood. She never wanted those kids. She was a real hood. They were out the hood.
As long as she in there idol worshiping white people. Just blatant. Like, my boy, what's his name in the show? Michael pulled up to her. Showed up. She said, no. Like, either way, right? You see, that resonated. What they don't talk about is like the other parts, right? So we know about the birth, right? We know about the life, the death, the resurrection, the miracles, the wine, the water, the walking on said water. We know about Peter denying him 3 times. We know about him knowing his man's was a snake. And let that man kiss his cheek to point him out. But the part that's still here is fact that God is still here. We're in an age where, like, we get to do what we want to do. That age is going to end. This is not that conversation. That's going to be long. I want you to understand that if you trust Him, He will do it. Why do I say this? Because I want y'all to understand that we're not dealing with like some fairy tale. It's not some big work of fiction. It's not some if you imagine it hard enough type thing. This is a real thing. The spiritual world is very real, and it has real world implications. I was sitting down on Friday morning, and I had my baby, and we're sitting up. Day starting, I was like, something just told me, you know, let me pray for her. You know, we got to get our prayer on that. And I didn't have a lot of prayer, but what I had been doing is just this little cartoon. I found a real sweet cartoon that does the armor of God. We had been watching that to the point, we watched it so much, I don't want to watch it no more. Not because it wasn't fun, but because I know every single word now. And so I'm talking to her, I'm like, we got a little tiny dog. And I'm telling her each piece of the armor. And as I'm telling her, I'm giving these descriptions. And as I'm giving these descriptions and stuff, at some point, I wasn't talking. I wasn't thinking to talk. I wasn't causating myself to talk anymore. It was the strangest thing I've ever felt. But God took over and then began to pray against demonic stronghold and insane. And he was stopping it right here. And my arm is moving. Like it's taking over. So much power and so much passion. I ain't never felt nothing like that before. I ain't never go through nothing like that before. And I've been in church. It's kind of why I thought it was all just, you know, words. Because people do things, but then you find out they low-key fake and all this type of stuff. In the presence of this bedroom, if y'all don't believe this stuff, this is all I'm going to say. If y'all don't believe these things, I'm here to tell you as a real, normal, rational human being with no huge incidents of irrationality, it is 100% real. And I would say go get right with Jesus. But if you're not going to get right with Jesus, just stop playing in the spiritual world. If you don't know what you do, that's all I'm going to say. And that was my out of the sky.
There you go, Maddie Mal, out of the sky. So before I do my Mr. Gentleman review of the week, I got a question for Sands. But he don't have to answer this. I got a question for Sands. But he don't have to answer this now. It's about his favorite artist in the world, Sexy Red.
Wait, whoa, what?
So I'm asking these two songs, and I want to answer by next episode of the Premier Boy Podcast. Which Sexy Red verse is your favorite? Her verse on Rich Baby Daddy with Drake, or her verse on F the Club Up, Nicki Minaj song? You don't have to answer now. Answer next time on the Premier Web Podcast. And today, review of the week, and I watched this movie, you know, called Ricky Sinisky or something like that, that featured John Cena, Zac Efron, and other people that was on Amazon Prime. And what I'm going to say about this movie, and not much to say about this movie, is terrible. John Cena, I don't know what you're doing with these movies, son, but you've been putting out a lot of terrible movies, John Cena. You my tour bro, but that movie is terrible. I give it one Mr. Gentleman review of the week. Facts.
Okay, Kevin. Wow, that's crazy. I saw parts of it, and it was pretty high. It wasn't like bad. It wasn't crazy bad. But yeah, it was all right.
I wasn't feeling it, yo. I wasn't feeling it. I don't know why. I wasn't feeling it, man. If it's, yeah. I give it one Mr. Gentleman. Facts. And that
is. I thought we talked about Good Times, honestly.
Oh, that's for next episode. I didn't finish watching it yet. I'm saving that review for next episode. I know y'all wait for that. Y'all got the review next episode. But yeah, but now it's time for the premiere news. And we're going to start off with, there's a lot of beef going around lately. A whole lot of beef. We're going to discuss two of them on this episode. The first beef that we're going to talk about is Chris Brown versus Quavo. So before I dive into their songs, do y'all know why this beef started?
I'm sorry. I be thinking it be starting over vagina. What y'all think?
I think that might be the case. I think that might be the case. Either Carucci or Sweetie. It was one of them. It was somebody.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff comes in, you know. It is unfortunate because you would think it would be because, my bars are better, like, or no, my bars are better, like how I was back in the day. Nah, a lot of this shit comes down to vagina. And it's really the same, it'd be the same 10 ladies that everybody in the game be clapping up. You know what I'm saying? If Crew Love was a team, it'll be the industry.
That's a fact. Yeah. What about Vagina? So they thought put out this song. So Chris Brown put out a song called Freaky that off his 11/11 deluxe edition. On this song, it featured Lil Wayne, it featured Tay Dizzy, and it featured Jonah Lucas. And Chris Brown had a verse about Quavo on that verse, on that song. Then Quavo put out this track called Tender. Then after that, Chris Brown replied back with the song The Weakest Link. Then Quavo put out another diss record called Over Hoes and Bitches. Have y'all heard the song from Chris Brown and Quavo? What y'all think about it?
I heard Weakest Link and best beef record of the season right now.
Yeah, that's true, bro.
By a country mile.
Better than push-ups.
Way better than push-ups.
Like, I agree. If you like beef, beef records, like, when you see this person, y'all probably should just scrap because I don't know what else you could say to each other. Type beef record. This is the one. If you like beef records that sound like clever Twitter rants, then you can go with not even push-ups, but the other one he put out. Oh, what's the name of the other one?
TaylorMade.
Yeah, TaylorMade. Yeah, go with TaylorMade.
We gonna dive in that. We gonna talk about that. She Louise. When it comes to the Chris Brown and Quavo beef, I heard Freaky. That got the 8 Air Force One sample on it. And I'm like, okay. Then I heard Quavo's first one, Tender. I'm like, I guess. But then I heard Freaky.
What are you saying? Like, what type of stuff was Quavo saying that make you think like this one inspired the conflict?
It basically about, you know, Sweetie, about his ex and stuff, and then Chris Brown, you know, doing a. I'm not a fan of Beagles like that. Quavo, so it was just like, whatever.
Oh, you didn't like the verse?
Yeah, I didn't like the verse. Yeah.
And he didn't say nothing strong enough in it.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing that got me, right, about the, not to cut you guys off, the thing that got me about this whole back and forth is Sweetie, right? And no, it really got me back and forth because basically what, and Weakest Link, I will say, is like probably the strongest track in this beat particular.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's really like, there's a lot of damning information. You basically saying to dude, oh, while you was with her, I was already clapping her up, bro. And I'm like, bro, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
For a multitude of reasons. Can I stop for a second? Why do people like that? Like, why did that become the thing that you fired up because you were knowingly having sex behind somebody else?
Yeah.
That apparently in this new generation, if you could clap up the next person's chick, then, you know, you good to go.
Basically.
See, for me, I thought it was like, you know, you clapping up so close behind somebody, I'm scared to, like, you know, be going down there and now you got somebody else's stuff on you. That's terrible.
Yeah. That's
terrible.
And mind you, to be fair, and I'm not even trying to, like, dot shame or nothing like that, but Shorty already had a roster.
Yeah, she did.
She already had a roster. Now you added Chris Brown to that, and then you would think, like, hey, you would think she'll get mad at Chris Brown talking about, like, hey, listen, that's crazy. You shouldn't be out here talking about that. That's wild. No, she ends up going to drop. She dropping Quavo's DMs.
Yeah.
On social.
That's so foul.
Yeah, and I'm like, bro, so you're not going to clean up the fact that you were clapping somebody else on that. And on top of that, y'all were having beef around that same time, too.
She's not going
to clear up the fact that she was one of those shorties. And that's that.
Honestly, she enjoying all this. She just sitting back enjoying this. She, oh, they mentioned my name. That's why she enjoying it. But
But you see, this is why this is the part of the generation that gets me fucked up, because now it's like, it's not about like there's no such thing as respect and chivalry about that. Now it's just like, it's all about attention and mentions. You know what I'm saying? You can get your shit mentioned by some top dudes, then it's up, then you up. You know what I'm saying?
But the weakest link track though. Jeez fucking Louise, son. Chris Brown destroyed Crable, son. He destroyed that man. Honestly, I like, he can't come back. He couldn't come back today. Even that track he did after, like, you just need to stop, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if he didn't come back in the next track, talk about how he was going to kill his mama, I don't know how you come out of this a victor. Like, you got to have videotape of him getting whopped. You got to have videotape of his mom's whopping you off, bro. That's it. That's all you can have after that song.
Because the weakest link, the battle finished after that. You can't, could do anything for Quavo at this point. Quavo already going downhill now. His show is failing because of Chris Brown.
I've seen that.
Chris Brown pulled the 50 Cent on him and bought.
He booked all the tickets.
He booked all the tickets to his show. Now he had 20 people in an amphitheater.
Hey, listen, AEW would be proud, bro. I'm sorry.
But you'd be Vince that be buying their tickets and leaving their shows half full.
Be buying the tickets and then leave. You know what I'm saying? And then be like, hey. Here, just giving them away for free. Like, here, these are the tickets, and then they just sell them on the back end. Like, that's basically what happened with that. He basically got Ja Rule, bro. So there's really not even a ghost.
That's exactly whose playbook he went out of. He went in 50's playbook.
Yeah.
And there's no like ghost. There's no ghost to take off or take off hidden verse that's going to really like clean this up, bro. I ain't gonna hold you.
But Roddy, hold on, Roddy. How you feel about this?
Is
Quavo versus Chris Brown beef?
Yeah, Chris Brown definitely murdered him on that track, bro. That shit was crazy. That's what I gotta say.
Anybody else got anything to say about the topic before we move on?
Listen, Quavo, unfortunately, you did, as it say in the song, get bodied by a singing dude. it happened to you, bro. Like, that's crazy. Like, you're gonna have to fight him for real. Like, you can't play no games. Like, when you see him, you have to punch him in the mouth and it has to swell him up. But something.
Quavo is not beating no Chris Brown with his fist. Right?
I mean, he got you. Yeah. You probably right. I believe you.
I know exactly what Sam's getting at.
Oh, yeah, you gotta do that then.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Yeah, do that then or whatever. But like, I don't rapping. He did that to you, boy.
and that's supposed to be your thing. You're supposed to be the rapper,
Right?
Yeah. Wasn't y'all part of like the best rap group? But yeah, they said the Migos was the best rap group.
Bro, they definitely would not. They need to stop that.
That's what they said. They said they were the best rap group of all time. All I see is Offset.
I'm sorry.
Offset putting out mid music, Quavo getting body by the singing dude, and Take Off Dead. Like, that's crazy.
Sadly,
that's a crazy average.
And then you got also with Take Off being dead, you also have an R&B singer then coming back to mock you because it was supposed to be you.
Jeez, that line was We said that line like, wow. Jeez. Woo. Jeez. I'm just waiting for the weakest link to be on streaming platform, son. So I gotta listen to it all the time.
I don't think they usually don't put the beef records and make them so long consumable. They might be a YouTube journey.
I know. I mean, shockingly, they put Bigfoot. So I mean, why not put the weakest link?
Drake was the one that really started making, not Drake. I mean, like Drake, when he puts out a beef record. He needs it to be on to go crazy on the chart.
Well, speaking of Drake, great segue, by the way. Great segue, by the way.
You get better at this.
We get better at this. The big three beef continues. As we mentioned last episode, we just spoke about it a little bit, you know, as the Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole situation, you know. All of them been beefing, but a lot has changed since the last episode we spoke about this. But we're gonna dive in how this started. We already know, cause I went down a rabbit hole. Kendrick and Drake, they've been back and forth for years, sneak dissing each other for years, you know. Kendrick, of course, back in the day, Kendrick believed the control birds. He mentioned me names. Drake didn't like that. And I think to this day, Drake hated that to the day that Kendrick said that. Yeah.
And he went back into control?
Yeah.
Maybe that?
Yeah. 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 One of the big reasons why he don't like Kendrick. One of the big reasons. I went down that rabbit hole. Yeah, shout out to this YouTube channel, What the Dirt. This dude do his research, son, on like beefs. I'm gonna send y'all the link so y'all can check it out, cause this dude do his research. But fast forward a little bit. Y'all already know Drake did a song with J. Cole called First Person Shooter that mentioned the big three on that song. Later, Metro and Future had an album called We Don't Trust You that featured many artists. J. Cole on the album, featured The Weeknd on the album, featured Rick Ross on the album, and they all dressed in Drake. Y'all probably wondering, why is everybody dissing Drake all of a sudden? Apparently, Drake had beef with all these people for many years ago. It is pretty much now resurfacing now, after the research I done. But there's one particular song that happened called Like That with Kendrick Lamar. And he pretty much just both Drake and J. Cole. Which is now, you know, three week number one. You know, shout out to that song. J. Cole put out a secret album or a mixtape, wanna say, called Might Delete Later. He had this one particular song called 7 Minute Warning. So my first question to y'all is how y'all feel about 7 Minute Warning? How you feel about that song?
What about 7 Minute Warning? That got deleted.
How you feel about the song as a whole before it got deleted? That's what I'm going to say. Have you ever heard it?
I heard it.
It's like, all right, you ever go to like poetry night?
Yeah.
So you ever went to poetry night? So if you ever went to poetry night, and then it's basically a 7 minute drill is basically like if you go to poetry night and somebody beefing with you, but over poems.
I mean, technically, isn't that all rap beef? Like, if you
motto,
like it's like battle rap, like at its core, is literally two niggas standing against each other doing slam poetry at each other.
Yeah, but it was drier than that. That's basically what I'm saying. Like you got all of this, you got all of these, you got Kendrick spitting out his best verse in the past, like maybe 2 years, right? And then you got Drake being what I like to call playoff Drake, because when you usually, like, with the exception of Pusha T, when I feel like he was kind of like one of two in terms of beefs,
right?
I feel like this was definitely this. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He put Meek in the dirt. Pusha T came back, dropped the fact that, hey, you are hiding a child. And then that forced him to actually reveal said child. You know what I'm saying? That was an L. You should have never had to reveal your child. Right?
It's a wrap. It's anytime. Like, no matter what else you commit to wax, it's over.
Yeah, like, once you start showing your child, I'm like, all right, boy, you that's an L. So, he really, in a sense, Drake really had to step it up, because now we wouldn't really take him serious as a, you know, as a artist, as a beefing artist, especially. So he had to come out with push-ups. And now that's kind of like right up there with the top, this of this, the top, this track of this particular beef.
So you have all of this going on. Rick Ross coming out of nowhere, dropping Champagne Dreams. Hold on. I'm gonna get to the question. You gotta let me name real quick. You got all of these tracks coming out. J. Cole sit there and pulls out 7 minute drill. And it just did not hit like that. So much so it had to get taken off streaming platforms.
No. That's not why it got taken off streaming.
It's not just why. But you wouldn't want to leave that there. MC. Would you really want to leave that there?
Not in that environment. Absolutely not. No.
I didn't ask you how you feel about the song. I didn't get to the next part.
That's your ass, guys, bro. You got all this hot shit out here, and you want to put that out.
That's where I don't agree with you, though. It wasn't terrible at all.
No, I'm not saying it was an ass, guys. But you really going to say it was? All right. Let me ask you a question. Was it better than Champagne Dreams?
I actually didn't hear Champagne Dreams. That was the Rick Ross, right?
Yes.
I didn't hear the Rick Ross jumping.
Oh, okay. You didn't hear Champagne Dreams. That's fine. That's okay. You heard Push-Ups, right?
I did hear Push-Ups.
Was it better than Push-Ups?
It was not better than Push-Ups, but it was kind of the same idea of Push-Ups, honestly. They both did the same thing to Kendrick. Instead of like really going hard, rapping them, tearing them to shreds with bars, in Push-Ups and in 7 Minute Drill, they both was like, oh, you're the little brother out of this group. You thought you was the top dog? No, you're the little brother out of this group. But J. Cole was like, you're the little brother because like who they talk about when they talk about lyrics. Come on, dog. They talk about me. They say you cool. They don't understand you. They talk about me. That was all 7 Minute Drill was. Like lyrically, like he never wanted to call him trash. But he was saying, you're a little brother to me. All Push-Ups was you think you're better than me? Do you see how many records I sold? You see how much money? Do you see how many people's business I done bought? You? That's all it was, though. There was no fire lines in it. It was all cute sublims and Drake's song and just non-committal by J. Cole. I'd rather the cute sublims than the non-committal any day.
And then that shit don't even hit the same because you took it back.
Oh damn! No, I'm not too familiar with the beat, so I'll just skip for this one.
I go. So how I feel about 7 minute 1 to the 7 minute drill? My fault. It was alright. I mean, if y'all heard Mr. Gentleman the podcast, the season finale of Compensated by Music, I already told how I felt about the mixtape as a whole. I didn't like the mixtape as a whole. It was one of Cole's worst work in my opinion. 7 minute drill was okay. That's pretty much it. That was it for that, you know. But after that, like Sam said before, he went ahead of my notes. He then apologized to Kendrick at Coachella about the whole drill, record, and took it off, platforms. How y'all feel about that?
I feel like it was the move that I expected from him. I didn't even expect him to involve himself in any more beefs like this. Because I listened to the song, what song? We all do, GOMD, right? Off of Forest Hills, 2014 Forest Hills Drive. In that song, he talks about no longer wanting the crown, this, that, and the third, not chasing the title of being the best at the cost of subverting my brothers, yada, 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 right? Beef records are literally trying to be the best at the cost of subverting your brother. So the reason why his beef record was also whack is because it also kind of went against what he was doing. That was actually a regression from Cole, and it sounded like. So I'm kind of glad he took it off. I'm kind of glad I expected the apology.
I'm sorry, y'all. I wish the camera was on. I would be shaking my head to this shit. That was the weakest move in rap. No, bro, that was the weakest move in rap in history. I'm on my Stephen A.
To apologize for super ugly.
Okay, but he ain't take the bitch down.
He never put it up.
It was on streaming platforms or nothing.
It wasn't on no album or nothing.
He literally just made a song
and said,
Y'all know I was making mixtapes in high school, right? During this time that it came out. I had Super Ugly on like two different mixtapes. You can still access Super Ugly to this day. You can't access
listen to 7 Minute Drill on YouTube.
You can listen on YouTube. It's on YouTube still. It's not Spotify stuff.
I'm gonna tell you. Can I tell you why I think that it was the weakest move in rap beef of all time?
Oh, say, please, just shut up.
Okay. Kid, if I'm beefing with you, right, and I happen to go on King Talk, which is streaming on all available platforms, if I'm beefing on King Talk, right, and I say some shit. Matter of fact, I don't even gotta make an example, bro. Brandon. The Brandon episode is still up. I already patched that situation up. I'm good off it. Episode is still up for viewing consumption. As we speak, as we're recording this podcast, the episode is still up. I ain't taking shit the fuck down. You kidding me? You gonna tell me that? Nah, bro, I'm not taking nothing down. You feel me? The fact that you took it down was the same way that Drake had to sit there and bring his kid out. Once he brought the kid out, it was an L. If he just left it there and then like jumped back into the shit, then I would have been like, all right, that was his one. He jumped back in. You know what I'm saying? He put out that mid mixtape. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say it was his worst in his career, but it was high key mid. You know what I'm saying? Like, you put out the mid mixtape. You put out this. Shout out to Roddy. I love your dress. That's crazy. I love your dress. Probably stupid. Nah, bro, it was crazy. You put out that mid mixtape. There was a few decent tracks on there, but in all, it was mid. You know what I'm saying? You put out this track. You talking all the spicy shit just for you to take it down a week later, bro. It's the weakest move in rap beef history. You know what I'm saying? If it's not the weakest move, it's definitely top five. You know what I'm saying? Well, in this case, top three.
Well, I'm not gonna hold you. I do got mixed feelings about that particular situation. And on one hand, I get why, because you know, boy, he didn't want to go that far. But on the other hand, doing a rap battle, yeah, that was not a good look. I could agree with that part.
If you didn't want to go that far, why even do it in the first place?
Exactly. I feel like I mean, when we say why he went that far, I gave you one name. The new sexual self, Drake. That's why he went that far. Drake got to his head and really wanted to hype him up, and wanted to probably do it. He's like, you should get a Kendrick. Drake seemed like he didn't the little type. You get a Kendrick. And J. Cole, like, you went, a word? Let me do that.
So you gonna let another grown man influence your decision?
He probably did. Who knows?
You gonna really let another grown music sexual influence your shit?
Who knows?
That's crazy. Sexual's gonna influence music sexuals,
or like that really got to him. That could have let him to do that too.
Because let's
one,
be real,
that one verse from Kendrick got to both of them actually.
That's crazy. That one verse from Kendrick made J. Cole drop a whole EP that nobody was gonna look for. Ye said it best. Play J. Cole, make the pussy drop.
We'll get to that. But after that, you know, Metro and Future, they came out with We Still Don't Trust You, which that was also with number one. Then Drake came out with Push Ups, where he does the following names: Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Metro Boomin, The Weeknd, ASAP Rocky, Future, and Rick Ross. How y'all feel about Push Ups? Now,
Push-ups was my favorite beef that didn't talk about a next man being dead because of a next man that came out. No, I'm lying. The other one, TaylorMade. Push-ups. Honestly, Drake was doing this thing. I ain't gonna lie. Was it as like Drake has never given us a hit 'em up? Chris Brown gave us the closest thing that this generation.
Not a fact.
It's kind of like if Tupac was on Perks, like, you wanna smoke with me, like, it don't have to be, you know, Nas or nothing like that, but like, I be liking more, But if you go and do it, I mean, do it to death. And that's what Chris did. So, like, now everybody falls in comparison. Like, it honestly makes me not so fired up about, like, Drake's subliminal rap. Because the thing is, this beef with Drake, like, while the raps are cool, they're not what they were when he was on 4 p.m. in Calabasas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're not what they were, even with the songs he was going back at Pusha T with. This is a more grown Drake that really don't want to be doing this. So now all he got to say about you is, I got more money than you. and these guys too.
And that's the crazy part. There was a bar in Push-Ups that that really struck my attention. And when we look at Drake funny a little bit. He was talking about Rick Ross and talking about how Rick Ross is almost 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to still do it. I'm like, bro, you're a little over 35. Exactly. Still trying to be relevant to like 20-year-olds.
Drake, he's 30. Literally,
not even 20-year-old, 15-year-old.
Yeah, you trying to be relevant to teenagers, nigga. Like, come on, bro.
He turned 38. He older than me.
38? No.
He turned 38 this year.
That's
he older than me. He older than me. Yeah,
you turned 38 this year, but you still trying to hang with teenagers.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing?
Trying to get a 19-year-old wife like Marcus Houston. That's what you're trying to do.
Oh, shit. God damn. He said he's sourcing home, yo. Fuck that.
How I felt about Push-Ups? I mean, it was cool. It wasn't bad. It's a catchy song. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, he probably got like 10 writers writing his verse. Yeah. That's your new sexual, though. There you go. But then, you know, a couple hours later, Rick Walsh, you know, replied with Champagne Dreams. BBL Drake. But Drake ignored that. He put out this track called Tell the Maid that features an AI Tupac and an AI Snoop. How y'all feel about that?
I remember that.
How y'all feel about that?
Oh, nah, that gotta go.
It was hilarious. But what he was saying in it was like, it was the cuts it was supposed to be, but it was hilarious because it was low key cringy. Like, hearing Tupac rap like Drake is crazy.
Yo, that shit was terrible, son. Like, what,
how do you go from Push-Ups to that? Like, what are you trying to do? You trying to show Kendrick that you're more West Coast than he is?
Yes.
When he can actually ride around
in New York on him.
Bro, no, that's stupid.
I need that basically the point.
Kendrick could get in his car and ride around Cali by himself.
Exactly.
Be okay.
Exactly.
Every time Drake gotta go to Cali, he, you know what I'm saying, he gotta bring security. Didn't one of his boys, PNB Rock, got bodied and filled in Cali?
Yeah.
At also, Roscoe's?
Yeah, Drake got booed.
Didn't he wish
Drake got booed at a Cali show. And they were cheering for Kendrick.
Didn't he wish he had Drake security? Like, come on.
Yeah, like,
he wish he had Drake security for that. To move safely. Drake still gotta check in when he come to Cali. Kendrick ain't gotta do that. That's a home game for him.
Exactly, home game. I ain't gonna hold you. You telling me with trash, son. Like, straight garbage. That was garbage.
It literally took away everything that he did from Push-Ups.
Yeah, really did. And it made Drake really desperate now too. Like, it made him really desperate that he feeding for Kendrick to reply. Like, him, there's gonna be a weird comparison. Drake, this track remind me of a different person we used to know, who just fiending for attention, and we not paying him that person no mind. That basically what that is. That basically what this the track was.
Yeah, because you did the same thing he did on those diss tracks.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, because here it is. It's like in this era, right? If you if somebody drops some shit on you, you gotta sit there and respond. You hear academics talk about it. You got 48 hours to respond. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you know, with him and Drake
somebody say something about Drake, Drake could take all the time in the fucking world.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You know, he's a Drake sexual, so it's fine. But yeah, and in this typical, in this generation, like, you know, if you don't respond in like, oh, 48 hours, then you lost the beef. But
like,
but the thing is like with Kendrick, he ain't got to do all that. He ain't working on y'all time. There's exactly. still responses that people sent to him that he still ain't get to.
Yeah, matter of fact,
Drake did still didn't respond to Soria Adidon. He just responded by revealing his kid.
That's a fact.
So you talking about, oh, nobody, you talking about nobody willing to respond. How about you respond to that?
Exactly. Like you think about
responded
this.
Responded by pulling out that son.
Like think about it like this. Kendrick did not respond to Drake first person shooter up to this year. And that's what was released last year. Kendrick gonna take his time. I already know that. But instead of Kendrick replying to Drake, another person replied to Drake instead. Kanye West, aka Ye, responded to Drake and J. Cole on the song Like That Remix. Have y'all heard Kanye verse Like That Remix? And what y'all think about that?
Actually have not. What?
Nah.
What? Say, did you heard it?
Yes. Yes, I did.
What do you think about it, son?
Yes, I did. That shit was funny as hell. Bars like, I'm so out of my mind, I can't even come up with a Drake line. Play J. Cole, get the pussy dry.
And fun fact, somebody put this out online, but I didn't notice it until I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. J. Cole dissed Kanye couple of years ago on False Prophecy.
It felt very similar to 7 Minute Drill, but it also felt like him trying to help him.
I don't know if
it was tongue in cheek.
I felt the same way, but I guess this was Kanye back on that. And plus all the recent stuff as well. I guess that had J. Cole this. But yeah, I mean, I liked it. You know, Kanye killed it. Even for that short amount of time. Even though I don't think this was his place to do that. But at the same time, Kanye and Drake quick tonight though. So yeah, I guess it worked. Cause we know Drake not gonna reply back to Kanye, so yeah.
Bro, Drake, Kanye made Drake's one defining song, at least to me, Find Your Love.
That's a fact, though.
That was a defining song. That's a Kanye fact. I'm not gonna be expecting him to respond to that. You know what I'm saying? Unless he's gonna come to him to write his own diss about himself.
Yeah, right. And I'm pretty sure Kanye
write your own diss record.
I'm pretty sure Drake did never reply to Kanye back, so yeah. So here's my final question for off the topic. Do you think Kendrick will reply back?
Yeah, but probably by the summer.
Kendrick gonna reply.
I doubt it actually. My son Kendrick gonna keep quietly drop another album. Trick people into thinking the fire gonna be on the album, and it's not. It's just gonna be another Kendrick album with a lot of panning sounds and stuff like that. And that's gonna be it.
I think he is gonna drop it. Like Molly said, I think he's gonna drop it with the album. He's gonna have an album. Like how J. Cole did it. He dropped the mixtape and then that one song is the diss track. Kendrick gonna drop his next album, and then that one song will be a diss track. It pretty much gonna be everything that basically Drake said and everything. No, he gonna basically, that's how it's gonna happen. I feel like that's how it's gonna happen. Yes, and that is today's episode of Premier Podcast. Thank y'all for tuning into this another episode. This is your boy Ken, aka Mr. Gentleman. Now follow me on IG, Ken_ Mr. Gentleman. I repeat, Ken, K-E-N. _ Mr. MR, Gentleman, GENTLEMAN, Mr. Gentleman, Lifestyle, a podcast every Sundays at 12 a.m. for the main series, every Thursday for Spinoff Series Thursday, where we have shows like A Conversation About Music Podcast every first Thursday at 12 p.m. Date Night Talk Podcast with myself and Miss Vanna B every second and third Thursday at 12 p.m. And The Old School Show with myself and the star Righty Rod every fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Season 8 of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast, September 15th. And Spinoff Series Thursdays will return in October. Cheer!
You already know what it is. It's your man's Aaron Sands, and I want to thank y'all for tuning in to this returning episode of the Premier Boys Podcast. You can follow me on Aaron Sands Premier, and that's on Instagram and Threads. And you can also follow me on King Talk Sands, that's on Good Pods and X, also known as Twitter. New episodes of King Talk will be coming out sometime soon, preferably in the summer months. Be on the lookout for that. Also, yeah, that's really it. That's all I got. New episodes of King Talk coming out soon. All current episodes are on all streaming platforms. You already know what it is. But once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in, enjoying the show with us. Ken, we got to do better with these likes, man, with you liking, you know what I'm saying? Like these events that got your favorite artists on it.
So as long as you give me that answer next episode, we are good.
Roddy, I gave you the answer already. I gave you the answer. It was nah.
Next topic, next topic. Hold on. Next topic shirt's coming soon in my merch store. Roddy, go.
So yeah, you got me, the star Roddy Rod. Thank y'all for listening to another episode, another week. We still here. We still going. We already know. Follow me on the IG, star.tomroddy, or on Instagram Threads. You already know. Make sure you listen to Star Time Podcast on all streaming platforms.
Star Time.
Season 1, Season 2 up right now. We should be coming back soon to be announced, hopefully in the summer. Yeah. So follow me and we'll see y'all next week. So.
There's been a few episodes. The order kind of messed me up. Ken, could you help me out?
Long live the chief.
They call me Melly Mal. Few things before we get out of here. One, welcome to the trilogy. We'll be coming back much sooner than you know. Special episode explaining the absence, plus the episodes I already promised you guys. It's on the way. Thank you so much for the wait. I'll explain it all within these special episodes, plus new episodes are going to be recorded. With that being said, listen, I want the Premier fam to know before I get out of here, love doing this for y'all. Whoever's listening, all the comments, all the likes, all the shares, each one of it, even if it's only a few, each one of it means something near and dear to our hearts here. With that being said, take us on out of here.
Yeah, there you go. This is your boy Ken, a.k.a. Mr. Gentleman.
And it's your man, Aaron Sands.
It's your boy, the star Roddy Rod.
And long live the chief. They call me Melly.
Have a good day or night. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Premier Boys Podcast. Cheer!
Cheer! What's up?